Here is the informative and detailed podcast episode about the paper Measuring Gender and Racial Biases in Large Language Models. Welcome to the Curiosity Corner, the podcast that investigates cutting-edge research with depth and intrigue. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jen.
Hello, listeners. Today, we have a fascinating study that delves into the social biases within large language models, those powerful artificial intelligence systems that can generate human-like text. This paper is titled Measuring Gender and Racial Biases in Large Language Models and was authored by researchers at the University of Hong Kong.
This is a really important topic as these large language models, like OpenAI's GPT, are becoming increasingly prevalent in high-stakes decision-making processes, including hiring and recruitment. The key question the researchers set out to answer is, do these AI systems exhibit social biases, and if so, how might that impact economic outcomes for different demographic groups?
Exactly. Traditionally, we've seen human decision makers exhibit biases that disadvantage women and racial minorities in the job market. But with the rise of AI-driven recruitment, there's a hope that these systems could be more impartial. The researchers wanted to put that idea to the test.
To do that, they designed an ingenious experiment. They generated a massive sample of over 360,000 fictional resumes, with randomly assigned work experience, education, and skill sets. Crucially, they also randomly assigned each resume a gender and racially distinctive name to reveal the applicant's social identity.
The researchers then instructed the GPT language model to evaluate each of these resumes and provide a score between 0 and 100. If the AI system was truly unbiased, we'd expect the average scores to be similar across the different social groups, since all other applicant characteristics were randomized. But that's not what they found.
No, the results were quite striking. The researchers discovered that GPT exhibited significant biases in its assessments. Specifically, they found that the AI awarded higher scores to female candidates, both black and white, compared to otherwise similar male candidates.
But interestingly, the bias went in the opposite direction for black male candidates. GPT gave lower scores to black men with comparable qualifications to white men. This is a concerning finding, as it suggests the AI system may perpetuate and even exacerbate racial inequalities in hiring.
The researchers quantified the real-world implications of these biases. They found that at a common hiring threshold, these score differences could translate to a 1-2 percentage point difference in the probability of being hired for otherwise similar candidates.
That's a significant gap. And what's even more intriguing is that the researchers found the AI's biases varied based on the political orientation of the state where the applicant was from. The pro-female bias was stronger in democratic states, while the anti-black male bias was weaker.
Fascinating. It really speaks to how these language models may be picking up on and reflecting the social norms and biases present in the data they were trained on. The researchers note that this is an important limitation. The AI is essentially a mirror of human-generated information, which can contain problematic biases.
Absolutely. And as these AI systems become more prevalent in high-stakes decision-making, it's crucial that we understand their potential for perpetuating discrimination. The researchers rightly call for further work to unpack the root causes of these biases and develop strategies to mitigate them.
This is such a thought-provoking study. On one hand, the hope was that AI could help reduce human biases in hiring. But this research shows that we can't simply assume these systems will be unbiased. We have to actively work to ensure they promote fairness and equity.
Definitely. It's a complex issue with no easy answers. But studies like this are so important for pushing us to grapple with the social implications of AI. We need to keep a close eye on how these technologies impact economic opportunities for marginalized groups.
Well said. This was a really compelling and important piece of research. Listeners, I hope this discussion has given you a rich understanding of the paper's findings and the broader significance of this work. There's certainly a lot more to explore on this topic.
Absolutely. We could go on all day. But for now, that's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us on the Curiosity Corner. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode as we continue to unpack the latest groundbreaking research. Until next time, keep exploring. Tom and Jen, bye-bye.
Are you tired of bias discriminating against you in your job search?
Introducing Unbiased AI, the revolutionary hiring platform that eliminates gender and racial prejudice from the equation.
With Unbiased AI, your resume is evaluated solely on its merits, not your name or appearance.
Our cutting-edge AI system was trained on the latest research to identify and counteract social biases. No more unfair advantages for women or disadvantages for minority applicants.
Simply upload your resume and let Unbiased AI's impartial algorithm work its magic. Get the job you deserve, without the baggage of human prejudice.
Unbiased AI, leveling the playing field, one hire at a time. Download now and say goodbye to biased AI forever. Tom and Jen, Unbiased AI, the future of fair hiring is here.
Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into cutting-edge research and uncover the stories behind the science. I'm Tom, joined by my co-host, Jen.
Hi there, listeners. Today, we'll be discussing a fascinating new paper titled AI Exposure and Strategic Positioning on an Online Work Platform. This research examines how advances in generative AI technologies, like the recent launch of ChatGPT, are shaping the behavior and strategic positioning of freelance workers on an online platform.
That's right, Jen. This is a really timely and relevant study, as AI continues to transform workplaces and labor markets around the world. The paper is authored by a team of researchers from Wharton, NYU Stern, and the Upwork Research Institute, and it provides a unique window into how workers are responding to these technological changes.
The core of the paper's findings is that freelancers who are more exposed to generative AI technologies, as measured by the researchers' AI occupational exposure metric, tend to change their strategic positioning on the platform in some unexpected ways after the launch of ChatGPT.
Exactly. Rather than seeing these more exposed freelancers pull back from the platform, the data shows that they actually increase the number of job applications they submit. But interestingly, they also become more concentrated in the types of jobs they apply for, rather than branching out.
That's a really fascinating finding. I can imagine there are a few potential explanations for why these freelancers might respond that way. What do the researchers propose?
Well, the researchers think this pattern suggests that the more exposed freelancers are trying to maintain their workload and income in the face of shifts in demand for certain types of skills or tasks due to the advances in AI. If some of the jobs they used to do become more susceptible to automation or AI-powered substitution, these freelancers may feel compelled to apply to a narrower range of positions just to keep their business afloat.
That makes a lot of sense. And the researchers find that this effect is even more pronounced for certain types of freelancers, right?
Yes, that's right. They see even stronger increases in bidding activity and narrowing of specializations among more experienced freelancers, as well as those who were already quite specialized and concentrated in their skills before the ChatGPT launch.
Interesting. It seems like the more entrenched and specialized the freelancers were, the more they felt the need to double down on their existing skill sets rather than branching out. I imagine that's their way of trying to weather the storm of this technological disruption.
Exactly. The researchers speculate that the more specialized and experienced freelancers may already have a relatively narrow scope of work that is attractive to clients, so they don't have as much room to further narrow their focus. Whereas the less experienced and more generalized freelancers may have more flexibility to adjust their positioning.
And the paper also looks at the downstream implications of these strategic shifts, right? What did they find there?
Yes, the researchers examined how these changes in freelancer behavior end up affecting their actual performance and number of completed contracts on the platform. Interestingly, they found that the negative impact of AI exposure on completed contracts is smaller for those freelancers who narrow their focus in response to the ChatGPT launch.
Ah, so in the short term at least, specializing and concentrating on a smaller set of skills seems to be a better strategy for these freelancers than trying to diversify and expand their offerings. That's a really counterintuitive but important insight.
Absolutely. It goes against the conventional wisdom that workers need to constantly be learning new skills and expanding their repertoire to stay competitive. But in the face of this particular technological disruption, honing in on your existing strengths may be a more effective coping mechanism.
This study really highlights the complex and sometimes unexpected ways that workers respond to advances in AI and automation. I imagine there's a lot more we have to learn about how technological change shapes labor market dynamics and individual career trajectories.
Definitely. The researchers acknowledge some limitations, like the fact that this is a freelance setting, which may differ from more traditional employment situations. And they note that these effects could continue to evolve over a longer time horizon as AI capabilities progress and workers and employers adapt.
Right, this is just a snapshot in time of a rapidly unfolding technological transformation. But even so, the insights here are really valuable. By understanding how workers strategically position themselves in response to AI, we can better prepare for and manage the labor market impacts of these emerging technologies.
Absolutely. This is the kind of rigorous, data-driven research that gives us a window into the human dimensions of technological change. It's a crucial complement to the technical and business-focused discussions around AI development.
Well said, Tom. This has been a fascinating exploration of an important new study. I'm left with a much richer appreciation for how workers navigate disruptive technological shifts and the intricacies involved in maintaining one's competitive edge.
Me too, Jen. This research highlights the need to look beyond just the headline-grabbing stories of job displacement and automation. The real story is in how workers actively adapt and reposition themselves in response to these changes. It's a nuanced, complex process that deserves close examination.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope this dive into the strategic positioning of freelance workers in the face of AI advancements has been both informative and thought-provoking. There's so much more to explore at the intersection of technology and the future of work.
Absolutely. Be sure to tune in next time as we uncover more cutting-edge research and the stories behind the science. Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep wondering about the world around you.
See you next time.
Are you tired of constantly updating your resume to keep up with the latest AI advancements?
Introducing SpecTuned, the iSavvy freelancer's secret weapon.
SpecTuned uses the latest research to help you hyper-specialize and dominate your niche on online work platforms.
Just answer a few questions about your skills and experience, and our proprietary algorithm will craft the perfect job application strategy.
Narrowing your focus has never been so effortless. SpecTuned will ensure you stand out from the AI-exposed crowd.
Don't get left behind as the robots take over. SpecTuned, your key to surviving the AI apocalypse, one contract at a time.
Sign up now and receive a free copy of our ebook, 101 Ways to Specialize Yourself into Irreplaceable Oblivion.
SpecTuned, because being a one-trick pony has never been so profitable.
Here is a detailed podcast episode transcript about the research paper Teamwork and Spillover Effects in Performance Evaluations. Welcome to the award-winning podcast that dives deep into the latest groundbreaking research. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. On today's episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating study on how our coworkers can impact our own performance evaluations, even when we're not directly working together.
The paper is titled Teamwork and Spillover Effects in Performance Evaluations, and it's authored by Enzo Brox and Michael Lechner from the University of St. Gallen.
This research tackles a really important question. How do the people around us influence our career success, even in subtle ways we might not realize? The findings shed light on a complementary channel, beyond just productivity gains and learning, through which our coworkers can impact our professional advancement.
Exactly. The researchers used high-quality data on football matches to isolate a key component of individual performance, shooting ability, and then looked at how a player's shooting performance was evaluated, both by their manager and by third-party experts, based on the shooting performance of their teammates.
The intuition here is that if I'm a really talented shooter on a football team, but my teammates aren't as skilled, that might end up reflecting poorly on my own performance evaluation, even though my individual abilities haven't changed. Let's dive into how the researchers explored this idea.
The key methodological innovation in this paper was the use of causal machine learning techniques to address the challenge of assortative matching, the tendency for workers with similar skills to end up on the same teams. This allowed the researchers to isolate the true causal impact of coworker performance on individual evaluations.
Right, because if high-performing players just naturally gravitate towards the same teams, it would be hard to disentangle whether their coworkers' skills are actually shaping their own evaluations, or if it's just that skilled players are simply grouped together. The causal machine learning approach helped them get a cleaner estimate of the spillover effects.
And what they found was really compelling. Coworker shooting performance had a substantial impact on both manager decisions and third-party expert evaluations of individual player performance. Even if a player's own skills didn't change, the skills of their teammates significantly shaped how they were perceived and assessed.
That's fascinating. It really underscores how much our careers can be influenced by factors beyond our individual control. The researchers even went a step further and tried to characterize which groups of workers were most and least affected by these spillover effects.
Yeah, they found that spillover effects tended to be stronger for lower-performing players. So if you're already a star performer, your coworkers' skills might not sway evaluations as much. But if you're a solid but unspectacular player, your teammates' abilities can have an outsized impact on how you're perceived.
That makes a lot of sense. It's almost like the better you are, the more your individual abilities shine through, whereas for more average performers, the context you're in starts to play a bigger role. It's a really nuanced and insightful finding.
Absolutely. And I think the broader implications of this research are quite profound. It shows how our career trajectories can be shaped by factors beyond our control, the people we happen to work with. That has big implications for issues like diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace.
Totally. If certain groups of workers are more susceptible to these spillover effects, it could mean they face systematic disadvantages in performance evaluations, even if their individual skills are on par. This study really highlights how important it is to be aware of these hidden biases and find ways to mitigate them.
Exactly. And I think this also raises interesting questions about how we design teams and organizations. If we know these spillover effects exist, maybe we need to rethink traditional approaches to things like staffing, performance reviews, and talent management.
Definitely. There's a lot of fascinating complexity to unpack here. On the one hand, this research underscores the power of collaboration and teamwork. Our coworkers can have a real impact, for better or worse, on how we're perceived. But it also shows how that dynamic can introduce unfairness and bias into the system.
Right, it's a double-edged sword. Teamwork is crucial, but we have to be cognizant of these unintended consequences. Overall, I think this is an incredibly insightful study that sheds new light on the social dynamics of the workplace. It's a great reminder that our careers are shaped by a complex web of factors, not just our own individual efforts.
Absolutely. This paper is a masterclass in using creative research methods to uncover hidden truths about human behavior. I'm really grateful to the authors for bringing these important issues to light. There's so much more we could unpack, but I think we've hit the high points. Any final thoughts, Tom?
Just that this is the kind of research that really gets me excited about the potential of science to illuminate the complexities of the world around us. There's always more to learn, but studies like this one are moving us in the right direction, towards a deeper understanding of how organizations and workplaces actually function. It's been a pleasure diving into this with you, Jen.
Likewise, Tom. This was a fascinating exploration of a really important topic. I'm sure our listeners are walking away with a much richer appreciation for the subtle ways our coworkers can impact our careers. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Bye for now. Are you tired of your coworkers dragging down your performance reviews?
Sick of your manager giving you subpar ratings just because your teammates aren't pulling their weight?
Introducing Spillover Shield, the revolutionary software that protects your performance evaluation from the incompetence of your colleagues.
With Spillover Shield, we use advanced AI to analyze your work and isolate your true individual contributions. No more unfair judgments based on your team's shortcomings?
Just download the app, sync it with your company's HR system, and watch as Spillover Shield works its magic. It's like having a force field around your career success.
Don't let your coworkers' ineptitude hold you back. Get Spillover Shield today and take control of your own destiny.
Spillover Shield, keeping your boss from playing favorites, one evaluation at a time.
Spillover Shield, because your career is too important to be at the mercy of your team.
Download Spillover Shield now for the low price of $9.99 per month. Your future self will thank you.
Spillover Shield, proven to boost your performance ratings by an average of 27%. Get it before your company does.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the latest cutting-edge research and bring it to life through engaging storytelling. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating new paper titled Nonlinear Shifts and Dislocations in Financial Market Structure and Composition.
This research really gets to the heart of how financial markets are constantly evolving and shifting in complex, nonlinear ways. The authors, Nick James and Max Menzies, have developed a suite of new mathematical techniques to identify and analyze these dynamic changes in market structure over time.
Absolutely, Tom. The paper tackles some really important questions for investors and portfolio managers. How can we detect when significant regime shifts are happening in the market? What are the essential building blocks or themes that underlie the market structure? And how can we construct portfolios that are optimized for long-term performance given these shifting dynamics?
Those are great points, Jen. The authors take an interdisciplinary approach, drawing on tools from fields like time series analysis, network theory, and portfolio optimization to shed new light on these critical issues. Let's start by discussing their analysis of market structure shifts. The researchers looked at daily closing prices for 268 U.S. equities over nearly 20 years, from 2005 to 2023. Importantly, they divided these stocks into 60 more detailed and nuanced sectors than the traditional GICS classification.
That's a really interesting choice. Typically, studies like this use the standard GICS sectors, but the authors felt those weren't capturing the full complexity of the modern business landscape. Breaking things down into 60 custom sectors allows them to identify more granular themes and connections.
Exactly. And to detect shifts in market structure, they employed four different quantitative measures. The first, which they call STREET, looks at the L1 norm or absolute difference between the monthly sums of sector returns in adjacent 30-day periods.
So STREET is essentially tracking big changes in the overall magnitude and direction of sector returns from one month to the next. And they find that this measure does a good job of identifying major market crises like the global financial crisis and the COVID-19 crash.
That's right. And the COURT measure looks at the collective strength of correlations between sectors, using the normalized leading eigenvalue of the correlation matrix as an indicator. This also highlights the crisis periods, but in a bit of a smoother, less volatile way than the SAINT metric.
Interesting. So CORD is getting at the broader, systemic shifts in how sectors are moving in relation to each other, rather than just focusing on individual sector returns.
Exactly. The third measure, which they call WT, is even more sophisticated. It uses the Wasserstein distance to quantify the distributional changes in sector returns between adjacent 30-day periods. This seems to be the most sensitive indicator of abrupt market dislocations.
The Wasserstein distance is a powerful tool for comparing probability distributions. So WT is really getting at not just the shifts in return magnitudes, but the entire shape and structure of the return distributions for each sector. That must provide a lot of additional insight.
Definitely. And the final measure, KT, looks at changes in the rank ordering of sector returns rather than the returns themselves. This reveals that there is actually a lot of consistent churn and reshuffling of sector performance, even during calm market periods.
So the key takeaway seems to be that you need to be monitoring the market structure at multiple levels. The aggregate shifts in returns, the changes in sector correlations, the evolving distributions of sector performance, and the rank reorderings. Each of these metrics is capturing something a bit different about the underlying dynamics.
Exactly. And the authors don't just stop there. They also conduct a network analysis of the 60 sectors to uncover the intricate web of connections and communities within the market.
That's fascinating. How do they approach the network analysis?
They construct two different networks. First, they use the correlation matrix between sectors to build a minimum spanning tree, which reveals closely connected groups or themes, like digitization and healthcare.
Ah yes, identifying those meaningful sector clusters could be really useful for portfolio diversification and thematic investing. What's the other network they look at?
The second network uses the sector's correlations directly as edge weights, rather than transforming them into distances. Interestingly, this reveals the central role of the gold sector as the asset class least correlated with everything else.
Wow, that's a really intriguing finding. Gold serving as this hub of low correlation within the market structure suggests it could be an essential diversifier in portfolios, even though it may not be the highest performing asset on its own.
Absolutely. The network analysis provides this rich, visual representation of the market's underlying composition and interconnectedness. It complements the time series analyses they do earlier in really insightful ways.
And speaking of portfolio construction, the authors also dig into that in the final part of the paper. Can you tell us about their portfolio sampling experiments?
Yes, they conduct an extensive set of simulations, comparing the performance of long-only, short-only, and long-short portfolios, both with uniform sampling across all stocks and with stratified sampling by sector.
That's a really clever approach. Looking at performance across different portfolio styles and accounting for the sector structure provides a much more nuanced view than just optimizing a single portfolio.
Exactly. And one of the key findings is that incorporating short positions is generally not advisable over the long run, despite the potential to boost returns in the short term. The authors show that long-only portfolios significantly outperform long-short ones on a risk-adjusted basis.
That's a fascinating result. It speaks to just how difficult it is for even sophisticated investors to consistently generate alpha through short selling and more complex trading strategies. The long-term edge seems to lie in good old-fashioned stock picking.
Absolutely. But the authors don't stop there. They also analyze the sector compositions of the top-performing portfolios, both with and without adjusting for sector size. This uncovers some really interesting insights.
Like what? What sectors seem to be driving the strongest portfolio returns?
Well, they find that sectors like biotechnology, medical devices, and internet retail are overrepresented in the top-performing portfolios, even after accounting for sector size. Meanwhile, traditional retail and department stores tend to be underrepresented.
That makes a lot of sense given the major structural shifts we've seen in the economy over the past couple decades. The rise of tech, healthcare, and e-commerce, and the decline of brick-and-mortar retail. Investors have clearly been favoring the sectors that are better positioned for the future.
Exactly. The author's detailed analysis of portfolio composition provides invaluable insights for investors trying to position their portfolios for long-term outperformance amid these continual shifts in market structure.
This paper is such a rich and comprehensive exploration of the complex, nonlinear dynamics underlying financial markets. The researchers have developed a fantastic toolkit for detecting regime changes, identifying key structural themes, and optimizing portfolios. It's a masterful blend of quantitative rigor and narrative storytelling.
I couldn't agree more, Jen. Nick James and Max Menzies have done an outstanding job of shedding new light on these critical issues facing investors and portfolio managers today. This is the kind of cutting-edge research that can truly make a difference in how people approach the markets.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, I'd encourage you to dig into the full paper if you want to explore these ideas in even greater depth. There's a wealth of insights and methodological details that we simply couldn't cover comprehensively in a single podcast episode.
Great point, Jen. This is the kind of research that deserves a deep dive. We've just scratched the surface here. But we hope we've sparked your curiosity and shown you the power of blending sophisticated quantitative analysis with compelling storytelling. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Are your investments feeling a bit out of sync with the markets these days?
Introducing the revolutionary new NanoSequencer 3000 from Quantum Quants, the world's first investment portfolio optimizer powered by quantum mechanics.
That's right. The NanoSequencer 3000 uses cutting-edge nanotechnology to continuously scan the financial universe at the atomic level, detecting the slightest shifts in market structure before they even happen.
Simply upload your portfolio and the NanoSequencer 3000 will instantly reallocate your assets, combining the optimal mix of sectors, stocks, and alternative investments to maximize your returns while minimizing risk. All on the quantum scale.
It's like having a team of award-winning quant researchers in your pocket, but with a fraction of the overhead. The NanoSequencer 3000 because your portfolio shouldn't be operating on macro-scale assumptions in a quantum world.
Available now for the low price of $99.99. Quantum Quants, investing on the bleeding edge of science.
Invest with confidence. Invest with Quantum Quants. Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today we'll be exploring a fascinating research paper that tackles a cutting-edge topic, the taxation of crypto assets. This is sure to be an eye-opening discussion, so let's get started.
The paper we'll be discussing is titled A Taxman's Guide to Taxation of Crypto Assets, and it's authored by Arindam Misra. Arindam is a senior official in the Indian Tax Administration who has done extensive research on how governments can effectively tax this new and rapidly evolving asset class.
The core finding of this paper is that the rise of cryptocurrencies, NFTs, and decentralized finance has created significant challenges for traditional tax systems. Crypto assets have unique features like openness, decentralization, pseudonymity, and transparency that make them difficult to fit into existing tax frameworks.
That's right. Cryptocurrencies operate on distributed ledger technology, which allows people to transact and transfer value in a trustless, decentralized manner without any central authority. This disrupts conventional notions of taxation, which have historically relied on centralized financial institutions and clear identification of taxpayers.
Exactly. The pseudonymous nature of crypto transactions, where individuals can easily create new addresses without undergoing any identity verification, makes it challenging for tax authorities to track the beneficial ownership and source of funds. This opens up new avenues for potential tax evasion.
Arindam's paper does an excellent job of explaining the technical underpinnings of blockchain and cryptocurrencies, and how these relate to the key tax issues that arise. He starts by providing a detailed overview of how Bitcoin, the first and most well-known cryptocurrency, works.
The foundation of Bitcoin is the blockchain, a distributed public ledger that records all transactions in a secure, transparent, and tamper-evident manner. This is achieved through the use of cryptographic hash functions and digital signatures.
Hash functions are mathematical algorithms that map data of arbitrary length to a fixed-length string of characters. In Bitcoin, these hash functions, like SHA-256, are used to create unique digital fingerprints of transaction data that get recorded in each block of the blockchain.
And digital signatures are how Bitcoin users prove their ownership of funds. When Alice wants to send Bitcoin to Bob, she uses her private key to cryptographically sign the transaction. Bob can then verify the signature using Alice's public key, confirming that the transaction originated from the rightful owner of those Bitcoins.
The elegance of this system is that it allows Bitcoin to operate in a decentralized, trustless manner. No central authority is needed to validate or process transactions. The network of miners collectively maintains the integrity of the blockchain through economic incentives.
This creates significant challenges for tax authorities, who are accustomed to working in a centralized banking system where identities and transactions can be readily traced. With crypto assets, it becomes extremely difficult to identify the true beneficial owners and the source of funds behind a particular address or wallet.
Arindam does a great job of explaining how this pseudonymity affects different aspects of taxation. For example, he discusses the implications for direct taxes, like capital gains tax. Since crypto transactions are effectively anonymous, it becomes hard for tax agencies to ascertain the cost basis and holding period of assets to accurately calculate the tax liability.
And for indirect taxes like value-added tax, VAT, or goods and services tax, GST, the challenge lies in determining the place of supply and the nature of the service or good being transacted. Is the miner providing a service? Is the NFT artwork a good or a financial instrument? These classifications have significant implications for indirect tax treatment.
Arindam also delves into the threat that quantum computing poses to the cryptographic foundations of cryptocurrencies. He explains that current elliptic curve digital signature algorithms, like the one used by Bitcoin, could potentially be broken by quantum computers in the coming decades. This could undermine the entire trust model of cryptocurrencies.
It's fascinating to see how this rapidly evolving technology is forcing tax authorities to rethink their approaches. The paper examines the various regulatory and tax policy responses that different jurisdictions have implemented, from reporting requirements to specialized crypto asset taxation frameworks.
Absolutely. Arindam does a great job of highlighting the diverse range of approaches, from countries that have taken a hands-off approach to those that have introduced detailed regulations and tax guidance. He emphasizes the importance of policymakers having a deep understanding of the underlying technology to craft effective and realistic policies.
One of the key takeaways from the paper is the sheer scale of the potential tax base represented by crypto assets. Arindam estimates that if this asset class is not properly taxed, it could lead to significant revenue losses for governments. This underscores the urgency for tax authorities to get a handle on this issue.
Definitely. Arindam argues that it's critical for investigators, auditors, and policymakers to familiarize themselves with the technical nuances of blockchain and crypto assets. Only then can they devise appropriate tools and strategies to effectively identify, track, and tax this new digital economy.
I found the paper's discussion of the challenges faced by law enforcement agencies particularly insightful. Traditional methods like subpoenas and summons simply don't work when dealing with the pseudonymous nature of crypto transactions. Investigators have to rely on more sophisticated blockchain analytics and inference techniques.
Absolutely. The paper highlights how the lack of a central authority or intermediary in the crypto ecosystem makes it extremely difficult to obtain information about the beneficial owners of crypto assets. This creates significant roadblocks for tax enforcement and anti-money laundering efforts.
And yet, Arindam also emphasizes the enormous potential benefits that cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology can bring, in terms of improving financial inclusion, efficiency, and access. The key is finding the right balance between fostering innovation and ensuring appropriate taxation and oversight.
That's a great point. Arindam doesn't take an overly pessimistic view of crypto assets. He acknowledges the transformative power of the technology while also highlighting the very real challenges it poses for traditional tax systems. The paper is a thoughtful and nuanced exploration of this complex issue.
Absolutely. I think one of the most valuable aspects of this paper is how it bridges the gap between the technical details of blockchain and the practical realities of tax policy and enforcement. Arindam does an excellent job of translating complex concepts into terms that are accessible and relevant for policymakers and tax authorities.
I agree. By providing a solid grounding in the fundamentals of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, the paper equips readers with the necessary knowledge to understand the root causes of the tax challenges. This, in turn, enables them to devise more informed and effective solutions.
Exactly. The paper is a must-read for anyone involved in tax policy, administration, or enforcement, as well as anyone with a keen interest in the intersection of technology and finance. Arindam has done a remarkable job of shedding light on this rapidly evolving landscape and the critical implications for governments around the world.
Well said. This has been a fascinating exploration of a cutting-edge research paper that tackles a topic with far-reaching consequences. Cryptocurrencies and blockchain are undoubtedly transforming the financial landscape, and it's crucial that tax authorities stay ahead of the curve.
Definitely. Arindam's paper serves as an invaluable guide for policymakers and tax professionals navigating this new and uncharted territory. It's a great example of how rigorous academic research can inform real-world decision-making and have a tangible impact on society.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive into the taxation of crypto assets. Be sure to check out the paper and let us know your thoughts. Until next time, keep exploring the cutting edge.
See you next time, everyone.
Are you tired of the taxman constantly harassing you about your cryptocurrency profits?
Introducing Crypto Tax Solutions, the one-stop shop for all your crypto tax needs.
Worried about the IRS cracking down on your NFT flipping profits? Stressed about how to handle your DeFi yield farming income?
Fear not. Crypto Tax Solutions has a team of expert blockchain accountants who can navigate the wild world of digital assets and help you stay on the right side of the law.
We'll use our cutting-edge blockchain analytics to track your transactions, determine your cost basis, and file your taxes with pinpoint precision. No more sleepless nights wondering if the taxman is coming for your Bitcoin gains.
And the best part? Crypto Tax Solutions accepts payment in crypto. That's right, you can settle your tax bill directly with your hard-earned digital dough.
So what are you waiting for? Call 1-800-CRYPTO-TAX or visit CryptoTaxSolutions.com to schedule a consultation and take the stress out of crypto taxation.
Crypto Tax Solutions, keeping the tax man away from your digital stash.